Can we celebrate our King today? Can we celebrate freedom today? Can we celebrate independence today? Hallelujah. Anybody glad that he set you free this morning? Amen. Amen. If you're watching at home, I hope you're glad that he set you free. You can shout right there where you are, in your living room, wherever you are. I'm so glad that, guess what? Wherever I go, his presence is there. So this is what is so exciting to me on July 4th, on what we celebrate Independence Day. I'm so glad I get a chance to be set free from worshiping behind the screen. I love it. It was good to be on the screen, but it's so good to be back in the house and see your lovely faces today. Amen. But what's so good, it's so good, is that, listen, if you're not here, guess what? You can have the same experience, right? Because you can't go anywhere from his presence. He's there. And in this last year, that's what God has shown us. And we praise God for his love. And today I declare I love him more than anything. Just want to thank all of you who prayed for me. Last week, we got a chance to celebrate love. My wife and I went away to celebrate our 18th wedding anniversary. 18 years. Amen. God has been faithful to us for 18 years, so we got to go to the lovely island of Jamaica. Yeah, man. No problem. I tried to stay extra. I really did. I went there. Can I have one day? The hotel said, yeah, you can have your room extra day. Couldn't find a flight. If I could have found a flight out, I'd have stayed extra time. So we had a good time celebrating one another and just being thankful for our love for each other and how God has sustained us for 18 years. Thank you for the prayer, because it was much needed rest. And we just are thankful. And as I got a chance to sit out on that ocean, and one day I was just out doing my quiet time, just to look upon the expanse and see what the hands of our God has done. Don't we serve an awesome God? We serve an amazing God. We serve a wonderful God. And it was just wonderful to give an opportunity to spend that time and worshiping him and being with my wife. We pray with her today. I think they tried to take her mom to church today. Amen. We praise God. Sister Tarana said she wanted to get up and go to church. So those of you who have been praying for my mother-in-law, she wanted someone to take her to her church this morning. So I think, amen, praise God. So those of you who are watching that did not know, my mother-in-law has really been battling. She's been battling cancer, and we praise God for God continuing to give her strength, and that she had enough in her. Today was her church's first day back in the building, and she wanted to be able to be there. So we praise God for her, God giving her the strength to be in the house of the Lord this morning. So we want to continue to pray for her. Today, immediately after the sermon, we will observe communion today. Hopefully you got an opportunity to get your communion cups. If you didn't, towards the end of our time together, we'll give you an opportunity to be able to get those as well. For those of you who are watching online, look, you may not have one of these communion cups, but whatever you have at home, what we want to do is celebrate. And remember, God told us as often as we do this, do it in remembrance of him, that we ought to remember what he's done for us. Remember why we have this freedom in Christ. And it's because of his broken body and his shed blood. So at home, if you got some bread or cracker or some juice at home, whatever you have, we want you to be able to use that, because what we want to do is give you an opportunity as well to remember the precious gift, the indescribable gift that we have in our Savior, Jesus Christ. Today, what we're going to do, I'm excited. We're back in the building. And God just put it on my heart to come this morning to start a new series. And today, we're going to start a new series over this week and 4 weeks following. And the series is called Better Together. One thing I recognize is that, you know what? But before I got married, I thought I was doing good. But when I know, because God has given me a wonderful wife, the Bible says he who finds a wife finds a good thing. And ever since, over the last 18 years, I don't know, anybody who's been married, if you're home, if you're here, you've been married an extended period of time, do you know after you've been married a while, there's certain things you used to do while you're single, or that you are able to do while you were single, that you forget how to do? It's like there's certain things, like I don't know how I'm able to do, I was able to do this by myself. And when I recognize that when God gives you that partner in life, that what the two of us are better together. That's why he said the two will become one flesh. And I recognize that my wife and I are better together. We're going to look at a passage in Ecclesiastes chapter 4. But one thing that I recognized over this last year and a half, that is the body of Christ, guess what? We're better together. And when I say together, some people might say, are we talking about together actually in the building? And it's okay. It's all right for us to be here in the building. But I'm talking about being in fellowship, being in community. Do you know one thing that I recognize over this last year, over a year, that God created us and designed us to be in community with one another? Anybody else have that same testimony? After a while, it was the novelty wore off. After a while, you know, it was nice. I could be at home and I could hang out and get chill. But after a while, I look forward to seeing some of y'all or being in community. And so we praise God for Zoom. And we praise God for all those things that he gave us to allow us to be in fellowship and in community with one another, even to be outside. But sometimes, right now, there are some people maybe here, some people who are watching me at home. This pandemic has done a toll on you emotionally because of the separation that you've experienced. Some of us are loners. Anybody in here a loner? Said, look, I don't need to be around people that much. There's some people who would say, look, I'm good. I could be by myself. But there are other people who are real gregarious people like me. I like to be around people. While we were in Jamaica, my wife said, you talk to everybody. It's like, you know, I said, well, honey, I think it's rude. You walk past a human, you don't speak to him. So, you know, we get in a conversation. Next thing you know, I'm just talking to somebody. She said, can you just not talk to everybody? But I'm just that kind of person. And, you know, I like to be around people. And one thing that the pandemic has done, and one time, as far as the body of Christ, and talking to some people, they have felt the weight of that separation, even with having Zoom, even with having these things. Sometimes when you get separated from those we're designed to be in connection with, it can take a toll on you. And today, as we, you know, churches are gathering, there's some churches that are gathering, some are waiting a little bit longer, and we praise God that we're able to do this. But what God put on my heart is for us to emphasize the importance of being in community, being in fellowship. And wherever you are, if you're watching me, I don't want you to think confused that I'm saying the importance of you being in the church building. Because you can still be in the church building and not be in fellowship. You could be in the church building and not be in community. One of the things that I've recognized is that people who were in community before the pandemic, the community continued, even though they didn't have necessarily the people around, you still were able to find ways to connect in community. I praise God for our small group ministry, for those Bible studies on Zoom. I know, and even our noonday prayer. Praise God for that prayer at noon. Some of you can't make it some days, but it's there every day, Monday through Saturday for you to get on. And I know one thing, my parents, my mom and dad, I could be talking to them and I could be at work. They said, look, I got to get off. It's prayer time. Why? Because of that community. It's so important for us to be in community to edify and build up one another. We're better together. Somebody say better together. And today I want to talk about the importance of us as the body of Christ being in fellowship and being in community with one another. Is that all right? Because today, if you're here or if you're at home, I want you to know that it's all right to be on the screen, but there's somebody that needs to know what's going on in your life. There's somebody that needs to be in, that you need to be in connection to and community with, that needs to know what's going on in your life. I had a wonderful opportunity a couple of weeks ago to attend a conference called Beyond, put on by First Baptist Church of Glen Arden. And one thing that this pandemic has done, it has opened up the church doors. So that we can create community, not with just people here in the building, but people at large. And I was listening to one of the people that was there. They have now an online campus pastor who says, now we have members of our church on 6 continents. And it's not just they're watching on screen, they're engaging, they're involved in groups, and that God has allowed you to be in community right where you are. I want to know here, today, in the building, at home, that God wants you to be in connection with somebody in the body of Christ, because there are benefits with being together. Say together. That word together has 8 letters in it, and over the next several weeks, we're gonna take a couple of those letters and digest them, but I'm gonna give you an acronym this morning for the word together. And we're going to look in a couple of scriptures. We're going to start right here, 1 Corinthians. Y'all can see, if you're in the building, you can see. You're following along with my notes as I have them on my screen right here. But before we do that, can we pray? Dear God, Heavenly Father, I pray now for somebody at home. God, who is feeling isolated, somebody in this building who's feeling isolated, that Lord God, today, that you'll move on their heart to allow them to be able to get connected in community. Help us to see the benefits, Lord God, and the reason why you've created us and designed us to be connected in community and fellowship with one another. Help us not to neglect the assembling of ourselves, but to do it even more as we see the day approaching. Whether it's in the building, whether it's online, however we do it, God, to make sure that we are getting together and pouring into each other's lives. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. First, we're going to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, second part of verse 24 and to verse 27. It says, but God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. Listen, I need somebody to help me out. Dylan, can you help me out? You want to come help me? Come here, Dylan. I just want to demonstrate the power of being together. Is that okay? Dylan, I want you to stand. Brother Tony, I want everybody to be able to see him. Dylan, can you stand right over there for me? We're going to demonstrate the power of being together. Right over. Can you see? Right over there. Right over there. So what I want to know, you know, when we are together, we have way more impact than we do when we're apart. You know that? What I have in my hand is 275 rubber bands. And I'm going to show you the power of what happens when we are not together. Dylan, I want you to turn around, and I'm going to throw these rubber bands at you, and I want you to tell me, do they hurt? Y'all ready? Can you see me, Brother Tony? Did that hurt? Really? All right, turn around again. Now I'm going to show these same 275 rubber bands at you. You see what I'm getting at to do? Look, Dylan, turn around. You ready for me to throw this hard at you now? Do y'all think this will hurt? It's the same amount of rubber bands. In fact, all they are is two rubber band balls that I bought, and I just separated some of them. I can throw all these rubber bands separate at my nephew right here, and they really don't hurt. But Lord, I tell you, if I turn back and drill this at his back, his parents will be wondering, what are you doing? Why? Because there's power in being connected and being together. All of the same number, but all disjointed, it doesn't have the impact. Go ahead, thank you. Give him a hand. It doesn't have the impact. But when we are connected and designed and in the community that God designed and created us to, man, you can make an impact. Amen? And that's what God is calling us to do today. The Bible, one of my favorite scriptures is a scripture that was at my wedding, Ecclesiastes 4. Two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. If either one of them falls down, one can help the other up. But pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up. Also, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one be kept warm alone? Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. Church, God is calling us to be in community. And today, it is so easy for us to get isolated, to be on our phones, to be on our tablets. We can do everything. You know what? We're in the digital age now. You don't even have to leave your house to go get groceries. You can Instacart. You don't have to go. You don't have to leave your house to go to the restaurant. You can Uber Eats. they'll bring it all to you. You can stay right where you are now. What they're finding out with the pandemic, you don't even have to go to work in the office if you don't want to. You work from home. But guess what? The body of Christ was not designed for us to work in isolation. We need to be in community. Even in this digital age where we can't gather maybe as like we used to, as many people as we used to, we need to fight for all the ways that we can to maintain community. And I challenge you and encourage you, if you, during this time, you've kind of separated yourself and isolated yourself, don't allow that to happen, because what can happen, the enemy can have his way in your life if not being community. There's 8 benefits that we're going to talk about today. I'm just going to touch each one of those, and we're going to break them down throughout the next several weeks. Is that okay? And if you see these benefits in Acts chapter 2, the church in Acts chapter 2 reminds me of this. It says all the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship and to the sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, which we will honor today, and to prayer. A deep sense of awe came over them all, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders, and all the believers met together in one place, and they shared everything they had. Look at what happened. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. They worshiped together at the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. That word fellowship there is a Greek word called koinonia. Koinonia. And what koinonia means is communion or joint participation or sharing in common. God has called us to be in community. And there's some benefits of us being in fellowship, of being together. T, when we're together in fellowship, what it does, it ties me in with God's family. It ties me in with God's family. When I'm in fellowship, you know, we're not designed to be lone rangers. We're not designed to live on our own. Once we have come to accept Christ and live in community, we're now joined in together. We know I'm not doing this by myself. Romans 12:5 says, in Christ, we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. There's something good about family. Being in community, it ties me together with others who are like-minded. He said, listen, when you walk in the light as he in the light, now we can have fellowship with one another, and our fellowship is with him, with Jesus Christ. That's why it's so important for you to be together in community. It identifies, it ties you in with God's family. But not only that, being in fellowship, the letter O and together, together, what it does, it offers accountability. Being together offers accountability. I love it. Proverbs 27:17 says, as iron sharpens iron, so a friend sharpens a friend. How many know accountability is important? Sometimes, you know, when you do things by yourself, you know, when you have someone to keep you accountable, to hold you to a standard that you said you were going to keep, and the standard is God's word, man, it has a big effect on our walk with God. One of the things that I know, as long as I've been doing this, when you stop seeing people in community, a lot of times they're running away from accountability. Because I know that when I ain't doing what I'm supposed to do, I don't want nobody asking me no questions. Anybody been there? That is a sign. That is a sure sign. Whenever I see somebody, I say, man, I ain't seen you in a minute. Sometimes, if you dig a little deeper, there's something going on in your life that say, you know what, I know I'm not right, and I need to, because I don't want to be exposed. But iron sharpens iron, and what you got to have, you got to have accountability. I know one thing, when I was getting ready to become pastor, I began to seek out other pastors who can speak in my life and ask me some questions. Because I know, as an individual, if I'm left to myself, I may be prone to wander. So I need people to help keep me accountable. Aren't you glad for people to help keep you accountable? That's what God calls us to do. That's why being in community is so important. This scripture in Galatians says, dear brothers and sisters, if any believer is overcome by some sin, you who are godly should what? Gently and humbly help that person back onto the right path. Now listen, accountability doesn't mean you always beat somebody over the head. Being accountable to other people, it means having people in your life who can speak the truth in love. We need to be in community. Why? Because we need accountability. Because whose name is on the line? It's not mine, it's his. Because again, if I name his name, I'm tied into God's family. If I represent him, if I'm his child, I need people to keep me accountable so why I'm a good representation of his name. That's why it's so important for us to be what? Together. Even during the pandemic, even if we can't come in for Bible study, even if we can't have as many people in the sanctuary, we need to fight and we need to labor for every opportunity we can to remain what? Together. And I encourage you to find somebody in the body of Christ. Again, the body of Christ is a global body of Christ, but also the local body. Somebody here locally, if you can't find that person locally, somebody in a global body of Christ that will ask you the hard questions, that cares enough to confront. You see, accountability is not easy because it's not easy for you to be accountable, and I'm going to tell you, it's not easy always keeping people accountable. Because on our end, I don't even want to ask you the hard questions because I'm scared of the answer sometimes. Because now I know the answer, then I got to deal with it. And if I know the answer, then I'm subjecting myself to you ask me to go some questions too. So that's why accountability is so good, because it helps us keep in line. How many of you have ever been on a workout plan or a diet plan and you had to have an accountability partner? Somebody's going to ask you, look, did you do what you say you're going to do today? I know we said we're going to work out. You need an accountability partner when you go into that gym, wherever you're doing. You need somebody to kind of keep us on the right path. Amen? Fellowship, we need somebody to say together. Together, T stands for it ties me. Fellowship ties me in with God's family. O, it offers accountability. G, when I'm in fellowship, I grow spiritually. I grow spiritually when I'm in fellowship. When I have that accountability, guess what? What it does, it helps me, it builds me up. The Bible says, he set pastors, teachers, he's sending all of these people into the church. Why? To edify the body, to do the work of the ministry. That's what he's called us to do. He wants us to what? Grow. Once we come to Christ, now look, we can't just stay where we are. He wants us to advance. And the way you grow is by being in community. You know, I was at the working out when I was gone. Sometimes, you know, I still like to exercise. And there was this new gym my cousin told me to go to when I was in Fort Lauderdale. And it's this new method of training that they were in. And they have guys in there to kind of help you along, because what it does, it helps your muscles to grow. Whenever you're in the gym, you have to have a spotter to kind of help you, because why? You will not grow without somebody pushing you. Togetherness, when we're together, when we're fellowship, we grow as the body of Christ. And that's what he's calling us to do. All living things do what? Grow. And that growth happens in community, in families. We see it in our children. They mature, we develop, we learn. Do you know we learn from one another? When you share your experiences, when you share what God has shown you in your life, you know what? We grow. Sometimes we're such in this age, we're in such a consumer mindset. A lot of us, we go to church for what we can get out of it. But do you know, God is calling me to bring something. My experience, my struggle in the body of Christ, we're all of us have gone through some of the same things. And it's not about you putting on airs and looking a certain way. God is calling you to bring all of your struggles, all of your experience to the table. Why? Because all the body grows as a result of it. There's somebody in here who's battled depression. There's somebody in here who's battled addiction. There's somebody in here who's had all kind of struggle, whose marriage, who's gone through divorce, and God has gotten you on the other side. And there's somebody else who's heading the way that you've already gone. And guess what? You can help somebody grow by us being in community. Today, if you're here, if you're at home, I encourage you. God is calling you to get in community. Get in fellowship. You need that koinonia. You need that communion, that joint participation in order for you to grow and be all that God has called you to be. We need each other. Teamwork makes the dream work. You all in your life, on your job, how many of you in whatever you do in your career, you needed a mentor. You needed somebody to show you. Without that person in your life, you would not have advanced as far as you are now today. Same thing is true in the body of Christ. Fellowship is important. It ties me with God's family. It offers accountability. I'm able to grow spiritually. But also in fellowship, what happens in fellowship? I love it today. It's so nice to be at home. It was good to be at home. But there's something about being in the house of the Lord. There's something about being in community with the saints when they all worship together. It allows you to encounter the presence of God. What does the word of God say in Matthew 18? He said, for where two or three gather in my name, he said, there I am with them. It's all right. You can have your time with God. I've had some amazing times of worship all by myself. But there's something about when I'm worshiping in community, Whether we're on the screen together, whether we're in the sanctuary together, there's something that kicks off when you worship in community that doesn't happen necessarily by yourself. It allows me to experience and encounter the presence of God like I would not have other than that. Look at our passage in Acts chapter 2. I want you to see what they said. I'm turning back to Acts chapter 2. And you go down, and it says, what does it say? Everyone was filled with awe at that at many wonders and signs that were performed by the apostles. They experienced and encountered the presence of God. It said, verse 7, go down to verse 46. They broke bread in their homes, ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. There's something about being in the presence in community that allows you to encounter and experience the presence of God. It's so important. It's so important. There have been days, I don't know about y'all, there have been days and times when I just didn't feel God's presence, and I didn't feel like he was with me. And when I got into the community of the saints, there's something that he revealed himself to me in a way that didn't happen when I was just by myself. Why? Because we are all his vessels. We are all, listen, he doesn't dwell in vessels made with hands. Can you imagine when the community gets together, all of that community possessing the presence of God, there's something that you don't, listen, you experience it in a magnitude that you don't experience it alone. It allows you to encounter and experience the presence of God unlike you would in other times. It's so important. We are created for his pleasure. God, he wants us to worship him. That's why you need to be connected in community. Say together. He ties me in. Being in fellowship ties me in with God's family. Offers accountability. I grow spiritually. I encounter Christ's presence in ways that I wouldn't have otherwise. But also being in community allows God to take care of needs. Take care of needs. In our passage, look what happens. This is why fellowship is so important. It says all the believers met together in one place, verse 44 of Acts 2, and shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. Look at this. What happens in community, when you're in community and connection with people in the body of Christ, your needs get met. There are needs that get met. I praise God for this body, for the needs that y'all have met in my life. Sometimes you find out when you're in community that somebody, listen, it has a financial need, has a need for babysitting. I don't know what it is, but all of it can be met here in the body of Christ. Isn't that an awesome thing? Can you imagine what kind of testimony that is to the world? There is this group of people that nobody is want for anything. They work, they move together. When there's a financial need, their need gets met. When there's any kind of emotional need, there's somebody there who's seeking to it. And look, the good thing about community is if you're not in community, people don't know the needs. And sometimes people, you can be suffering in silence. And a lot of times we isolate ourselves because we don't want anybody to know our needs because we think it makes us feel less than. And sometimes that's our fault. Sometimes that's the church's fault. See, sometimes God is calling us to be in community, but sometimes the church has been more of confrontation than community. Sometimes we're more about confrontation. The church, God has called us and the body of Christ to be a place that welcomes community. A place where somebody who's got some kind of malady doesn't feel like, I'm not like everybody else. Do you know there are a lot of people who come to church, it's like, they look like everybody got their stuff together. Because we're too scared to let people know we're broken. The body of Christ, we're supposed to be a community that takes care of needs, but the key is I got to let you know that I got the need. I can't be too prideful. I can't be too prideful and say, look, my house is getting ready to get repossessed. My car getting ready to get repossessed. I don't want nobody to know what I'm going through. You need to let somebody know, even if it's your fault, even if you had some bad decision, you need somebody in your life. Say, look, you need to make some bad decision. We're going to help you out because we're the body, but we're going to put you on a plan to get you straight. That's what community does. It's not condemning. It's not judging. Community brings people together. Needs are taken care of in community. Amen? Not only do needs get taken care of, but also what happens in community? Community H helps me to discover my gifts. When you're in fellowship, it helps you discover your gift. Do you know how I figured out God called me to preach? By being in community. But being a teenager, and if she's watching, Dr. Barbara Hutchinson or Denise Rory or Missy Lane, Sister Elaine, and all of those, Debbie and Sean Blake, we used to have something called Teens Involved. And Teens Involved had all of these other little activities that they had teens do, and they had an expository preaching category. And I guess because Pastor Mac is my dad, I'm going to be in the expository preaching category. And I told y'all I like to talk to people. So as a 15-year-old, I did the little expository preaching thing. And God, listen, in community, in fellowship, it helped me discover what God has called me to do. Do you know being in community has helped you discover your gifts? And when your gift will make a way for you and it will put you in the presence of kings. That's what God is doing. I love it. Brother Tony has got these young men in the sound room sometimes. And some of them, after they've come from working with Tony in the sound room for the time they were boys, teenagers, get out of school, then they find out they want to do something in that area. Why? Because they discover their gift. That's what God, that's what being in community helps you find out what God is, how God has wired you. And the good thing about being in community, being in a fellowship, is you can mess up in the community. Because it's all love. We all have our best interests at heart. Listen, you might not even know your gift, but you can try out different things. And say, look, I may want to try to help in the classroom. And you find out, that ain't for me. But in community, it's an opportunity, it's a safe place for you to find out how God has wired you. And that's the, you know what, when the body is operating the best is when the body, everybody's operating in their gift. Everybody is operating in their gift. You know, one of the things God had put on my heart many years ago, that as a pastor of the church, I wanted us to be a gifts-based ministry. What do you mean? That people, I want to be a place where people can discover their gifts and use their gifts. And if you're serving in an area that you don't feel is your gift, guess what? It's okay to say, I don't want to do that no more. Just try something else. Because, I'm going to tell you, I'd much rather have a position not filled than have it filled by somebody that's out of their gifting. I believe God it will honor us saying, listen, we need somebody here, but instead of sticking sister such and such who doesn't like people on the hospitality team because we got a space for the hospitality. She's an introvert. She don't like talking to people. We're going to put her right here and let her be a hospitality person. Or this person, you're going to be an usher. You don't like the people. We need a teacher in the classroom. You don't even like kids. But we need somebody in the classroom. You don't like children, but we're going to put you in there. Nope. We'd rather figure another way and allow you to operate in where your gift. Just because you don't like children, does that make you a bad person? Just because you don't necessarily like being around people, does it make you a bad person? No, that's just not your area of gifting. See, that's the thing you got to understand. If that's not your area of gifting and you don't do that well, we don't have to look at you bad. Oh, my goodness, they did a trouble. Mm-mm. We'll just put you in the place where your gifting is. And the body of Christ is a place to help you discover that. That's why it's so important for you to be in fellowship. Amen? To help me discover my gifts. That's why the body said there are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit is the source of them all. 1 Corinthians 12. There are different kinds of service, but we serve the same Lord. God works in different ways, but it's the same God who does the work in all of us. And look at this. A spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can what? Help each other. That's why your gifts are so important. Together, it ties me with God's family, offers accountability, I grow spiritually, I encounter Christ's presence, takes care of needs by being in fellowship, helps me discover my gifts, and E, I get encouragement. Do y'all know what an encouraging thing? Just the Pastor Max said, it's so good to see your lovely faces. Sometimes just seeing y'all makes me feel better. Anybody else with that testimony? You get encouragement being in community. When you're down and you're feeling like you just can't do it anymore, and somebody can speak into your life. And I love it. On our prayer call, sometimes there'll be somebody that said, listen, I need y'all to pray for me. I'm not feeling the best. I'm feeling down. And we can just pray over you and speak into your life. Why? Bobby said, don't let it... Let us think of ways we can motivate one another to acts of love and good works, and let us not neglect our meeting together, whether it's virtually or in person. Don't neglect it as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. We are encouraging each other, especially now. Listen, COVID-19 has been a blessing and allows us to extend our reach, but also the enemy can use it, can allow you to creep back in your corner, suffer in silence. There are some folks we not seeing. You not see. Now, there's some folks I haven't seen in a while. They say, well, listen, I'm watching online. But sometimes we use that as an excuse. Amen. We use that as an excuse. We're suffering. But you need to let somebody know, I need to be in community so where I can get encouragement. And we encourage one another. And he says, especially, let's do it now. We have to contest. We have to fight to keep that connection together. Because the enemy knows when we're together, like I said, we have way more impact than we do when we're separated. So what the enemy would like to do is, let me find a way to separate y'all. Let me find a way to keep you out of community so you can minimize your impact. We receive encouragement and we're in community. And the final thing, R, when we're in community, guess what? People get reached with the good news. People get reached with the good news. Look at John 13, 35. It says, your love for one another with that community, when you're in together, it will prove to the world that you're my disciples. It'll prove to the world you're my disciples. And John 17, 21, I pray that they will all be one. This is what Jesus' prayer was for us, that we will be in community. Look at it. His high priestly prayer was that I pray that they'll all be one, just as you and I are one, as you are in me, Father, and I'm in you. And what will happen? And may they be in us so that the world will believe. When you're in community, the world will believe that you sent me. When we are in community where God calls us to, it reaches people with the good news. And isn't that what we're here for? How many of y'all know we're better together? We are better together than when we are apart. And again, like I said, being together doesn't necessarily mean you got to be in the building. If you're at home, guess what? You can still be together. What you need to do, you got to have somebody to keeping you accountable. Look, a great way to be together at home is, you know what you can do? You can host watch parties in your home. You got family and friends that you're comfortable being around. You know what you can say? Y'all come to my house Sunday morning at 11 o'clock. We're going to have church in my house. We're going to have church in my house. We get together and we can sing right in the living room. And we can sit together and discuss the word, have something to eat, and then talk about it. You're still together. May not be in the building, but that allows your church to extend. And you know what you have? Just imagine you got 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 houses with 4 or 5 people in them together, looking at the word of God, listening to the word of God. You know what that little house is? That one house is a church. My house, you heard that song, it's a little hymn that says, our house is a church when we pray. When that house comes together, if it's not even your neighbor, just your children, have church in your house. If you can't get to the building, you can do it right at home. If you can't host the watch party, invite your family or friends and say, listen, I'm going to church online. Why don't you go? Let's get on together. Let's talk about it. They can watch wherever they are, but whatever it is, you need to be in community, and you got to fight for it. Hebrews chapter 10 says, do it even more. As we see the day approaching, the day of his return is coming. How many know Jesus is coming back? Amen. He's coming back. He's coming back soon. And while he's coming back, he wants to come back for a church that is together. He wants a church that is on one accord, all about his mission. And what is his mission? We talked about it. The Great Commission and the Great Commandment. What's the Great Commission? Go into all the worlds and make disciples. What's the great commandment? To love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. And do what? The second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. Loving God, loving people, making disciples. That's what God's called us to do. And when we do that together, we have more impact than we do if we're all separated. Amen? Can y'all pray with me? Dear God, Heavenly Father, I thank you. Thank you, Lord God, for your love. Thank you for what Christ has done on Calvary that made it possible for us to be together, that made us possible for us to be in fellowship with you and one another. That God, that we were separated from you because of our sins, But you desired a relationship with us. You created us to be in relationship. And you loved us so much that you sent your son Jesus Christ to die on the cross for us, shed his blood, and was buried and rose again to redeem us, to justify us, to make us right with you, so that the distance between us and you could be bridged. And that all of those, you said that there's many, Lord God, of us who put our faith and trust in you, you give them the right to be children of God. Thank you, Lord, now that we can be a part of your family. I'm so glad that I'm a part of the family of God. And Lord, I was a part of the family and a part of your body, Lord God. I'm also part with all of my brothers and sisters here and all of those at home who've put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And God, over the last year and a half, it's been a struggle for sometimes to keep the community. You've created us for koinonia. You've created us to be in joint participation. You, Lord, allowed a pandemic to come to isolate us in our homes, but also, Lord God, it was a blessing and a curse, a blessing because it showed us that the church has got to get outside of the four walls. But sometimes, God, it can be a curse because it caused some of us to be isolated. Help us, Lord God, not to fall back and to isolate ourselves, but to fight for community, whether we're at home, wherever we are, whether we're in the building, to make sure that we have people that are keeping us accountable. Lord, to helping us grow in our relationship with you. That we have people that we connect with, that we're comfortable with, that it can encourage us and speak the truth to us in our lives in love. We praise you and we thank you. Help us to do it even more and more as we see the day approaching. We thank you that you've gotten us to this point today where we can be in the house of the Lord, gathered together. Lord God, we thank you for these who've come today. We pray that you'll continue to keep us, and we pray, God, for those who, Lord God, have not become a part of your family, that you'll help them to understand their need for you. In Jesus' name. Before we close, I want to give someone an opportunity both here and at home. I said being in this community, it ties you in with the family of God. It's so important for you to be in community, but the first thing, in order for you to be in community, you got to be a part of the body of Christ. And God created you. He made you to be in relationship with you, but all of us are separated from God because of something called sin. Sin has separated us from God. Sin is anything that I act, say, or do that is against God. And the Bible says we're all born sinners. And the issue is with our sin, because God is perfect and man is not, and a perfect God cannot be in community with an imperfect man unless man becomes perfect. And so what God did, he said, listen, they can't do that on their own. They can't pay for their sin on their own. They'll never achieve that level of perfection unless I give them that level of perfection. So what God did, God said, listen, I love you so much that I'm going to become me, the only perfect one, will become like you. It said, God, listen, God made him who knew no sin to be made sin for us so that we might be made the righteousness of, become the righteousness of God. God, for God loved the world in John 3:16 that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. What God did, God came to earth. He came to earth in the form of a man, in Jesus Christ. They call him Emmanuel, God with us. And he came to earth so that he can identify with you and me. Because all sin had to be paid for with blood. There must be a sacrifice to pay for sin. And it cannot be your sacrifice, but you can't be the sacrifice because our blood is tainted with sin. Had to be a perfect one. And the only perfect one is God. So God became man so he could qualify to be the sacrifice to pay for you, so that you might one day have a relationship with him. And the Bible says this, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. God sent the gift of himself, Jesus Christ. He came to this earth, he lived, he died, he went through everything that you go through, and he never sinned so he could qualify to be your sacrifice. And in order for you to have your sins forgiven and be in right relationship with God, be in community with God, it's as simple as ABC. You want to have that happen for you today. Just A, admit to God that you're not perfect. Bible calls it sin. Believe, B, believe that he sent his son Jesus Christ to die on the cross just for you. Believe that he was buried, that he rose again. C, make the choice to invite him into your life, forgive you of all your sins, and make you who he wants you to be. When you make that decision, he said, I'll give you eternal life and you'll never perish. Then you can be in communion with God. If you've never done that today and you want to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, I'm going to pray a simple prayer of invitation. Won't you repeat this after me right here or at home? Say, dear God, I admit that I'm a sinner separated from you. I believe you sent your son Jesus to die for me. I believe he was buried and rose again. Today, I make the choice to invite you as Savior and Lord of my life. Forgive me of all of my sins. Make me who you want me to be. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. If you made that decision, hallelujah, praise the Lord. If you made that decision to accept Christ, if you're watching on our website today, listen, there's a tab that says, I want prayer. Hit that prayer tab. It'll send a message to one of us to contact you so we can let you know what you need to do next. Also, you can go right to our website, encounterchurch.net/next, and there's a connection form there. It says, listen, I accepted Christ today. Please let us know about that. If you're here in this sanctuary and you prayed that prayer, we need to know about that. I want you to come see me. What I'm going to do, I wanted you to take a bold step. I will stay right up here on this stage. And if you prayed that prayer expressed the desire of your heart, I want you to come see me and say, Pastor Dwayne, that was me. I prayed that prayer today. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm going to ask Brother Jamal to come before we come into our time of communion. And we're just going to, matter of fact, let us go right into that. I'm going to have Jamal come right after that. Amen. If you have your cups, we're going to go right into our time of communion. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. We talked about being in community with God and community with one another. But in order for us to be in community with one another, it first starts with being in community with God. You can't have the horizontal relationship right unless you have the vertical relationship right. And we thank God today for what Jesus Christ did to make that relationship right. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23 says, for I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. At this time, you can partake of the bread. Verse 25 goes on to say, in the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant of my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. You can partake of the cup. Amen? Amen. Thanks be to God. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift that gives us freedom. Amen? Amen. Say amen. Before we go to our next part and close, Brother Jamal will come. Amen. Say amen as he comes at this time.